listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. Unfiltered news and opinion for the citizens of Idaho.
Well, hello and welcome to the True Idaho News Podcast. This is Daniel Bobinski, host of the podcast with my co-host, Josh Gibbons. How are you, Josh?
Better than I deserve.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about and not a lot of time, so let's kind of jump into it. We are sponsored by Tom Lopak with Picture Perfect Window Cleaning. If you want 10% off your window cleaning bill, you know, springtime and all, give Tom Lopak a call at 208-401-6265. Get your windows cleaned, your screens repaired, your gutters cleaned. Does power washing for you as well. Find out more at windowcleaningboise.com. That's windowcleaningboise.com. Tom Lopak, 10% off your bill by mentioning the True Idaho News Podcast, 401-6265. Josh, we have all sorts of legislative stuff going on right now. Have you been watching any of this chaos at the Capitol?
You know, I've been hearing about it more than watching it lately. I was actually traveling up north here this last week, so kept me busy.
It's been crazy. So this past week, we've had legislation. Thankfully, this is good news. Legislation to eliminate drop boxes in voting. I call them fraud-ridden drop boxes. And by the way, you can go to trueidahonews.com and read this story. And there are links that you can go to find out what we're talking about. But this is House Bill number 693, prepared by Priscilla Giddings. And basically it says they added a sentence to the code that says the use of drop boxes or similar drop-off locations to collect absentee ballots is prohibited. I love this because True the Vote, along with Dinesh D'Souza, they created a video that's coming out called 2,000 Mules. And a mule is someone who collects ballots through ballot harvesting or fraudulently collects them and then drops them in the drop boxes. And this video, we linked to the teaser for this video and to some articles where you can find out some of these people have made 53 trips to 20 different drop boxes dropping off ballots.
Wow.
These drop boxes are just rife for fraud. And in the article, we list the quote unquote Republicans who voted to keep the drop boxes. This is really strange. All 12 House Democrats voted to keep the drop boxes, and so did 20 House Republicans. And Josh, I rarely do this, but I think we need to pay honor to these 20 people who think it's okay to have fraudulent systems in place in Idaho. Ready for this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Megan Blanksma of Hammett. Matthew Bundy of Mountain Home. Our favorite Greg Cheney of Caldwell, Lance Clough of Twin Falls, Marco Erickson of Idaho Falls, Rod Furness of Rigby, Cody Galloway, my own representative of Boise, Mark Gibbs of Grace, Linda Hartkin of Twin Falls, Wendy Horman on the Ethics Committee of Idaho Falls, Clark Kaufman of Filer, Ryan Kirby of New Plymouth, Lori Lickley, running for Senate, along with Greg Cheney, by the way, of Jerome, Dustin Manwaring of Pocatello, Gary Marshall of Idaho Falls, Lori McCann of Lewiston, our favorite Scott Syme, the Democrat with an R after his name from Caldwell, Carolyn Nilsen Troy of Genesee, John Weber of Rexburg, and our favorite doctor retired, thankfully he's retiring, Democrat, also with an R after his name, Fred Wood. All these folks voted to keep drop boxes in Idaho. It now goes to the Senate, where Patty Ann Lodge's committee, the State Affairs Committee, is going to consider it. In the article, if you go to trueidahonews.com, there are listed all of the people on that committee in the Senate with links, so you can find out how to contact them and urge them to support this bill. We do not want drop boxes in the state because they are so rife for fraud. Any thoughts on that, Josh?
I'm actually curious, did any of those names stick out to you, or is this kind of you expected these same people to be on that list and even pop out to you?
Well, I was kind of surprised to see Wendy Horman, because I've heard various legislators say that they supported her to be Speaker of the House and opposed to Scott Bedke. But in many ways, it looks like she votes like a deep state person, someone who supports big government. And I don't want someone like that. I was also surprised to see my own representative, Cody Galloway, on there, who also, by the way, is running for Senate to challenge Fred Martin, which, you know, anybody's better than Fred Martin. But surprised to see Cody Galloway. This is her first year. She's new. You would think that someone who claims to be a conservative recognizes the fraud that's out there. There's evidence of fraud, voter fraud. Of course, the big state people who want the cheating to occur say that there's no evidence. But we've got video evidence, lots of it, of over 2,000 instances. And they've documented this with the True to Vote movie. And I know the gal who runs True to Vote. So people should just be aware that the honest way to do voting is paper ballots, paper ballots, paper ballots.
Absolutely. Yeah, looking at this list, I honestly wasn't surprised at all looking at the names. Cody's did. That was one that I was going to be like, you could flip a coin. But unfortunately, this is kind of just on par with how they regularly vote. And the fact of the matter is there's a lot of evidence. There was evidence back before Donald Trump even claimed election fraud that we could see. And we do have it to where the Democratic Party does pay people to go door to door and collect these ballots and drop them off. And the problem that we have a lot of times with that is that people are influencing uneducated voters on how they should vote based off of just a conversation.
Yeah, I was able to interview Sharon Angle. She ran against Harry Reid. And she was talking about the blatant fraud happening in ballot harvesting in Nevada and how they would do it. And it was just jaw-dropping information. And I think these drop boxes, like I said, they just open up the door for fraud. So I'm really glad to see this pass the House. I really hope it passes the Senate. And then I hope that our puppet marionette in the executive branch signs it.
Well, unfortunately, it went to Patty Ann Lodge, Senator Patty Ann Lodge's committee. So, I mean, there's always a good chance that she'll just draw it. So let's put some pressure on her and hope that we can change that.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully. Well, speaking of big government spenders, there's another bill, House Bill 701. This is amazing to me. Megan Blanksma, who I tend to hear is Scott Bedke's right-hand puppet. She was the floor sponsor, and she brings this bill, ready for this, $50 million of the American Rescue Plan Act to be spent on Idaho Workforce Housing Fund. So they're going to take this money and they're going to appropriate it to be used as a financial gap filler for workforce housing development. Josh, when you hear the phrase workforce housing, what do you think of?
You know, I don't even know. I was just sitting here thinking that too. I'm like, what? You know, to the average person, you'd sit here and you'd wonder, what is workforce housing? Is it government workforce? Is it private sector workforce? What is it exactly? That really is kind of just leaves you just based off of that.
Uh-huh.
A lot more questions than anything.
Uh-huh. And when you go through the wording of this entire bill, there is no definition of what workforce housing is. None. And from the floor, Megan Blanksma got up and said, well, this is going to provide a gap. So if someone decides to build low-income housing and they don't have enough money to finish the project, well, this money will help them finish that project to provide that low-income housing.
Oh, that's so sweet of her to do that with our tax dollars.
This is our great-great-great-grandchildren's tax dollars, but this country's already $30 trillion in debt.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct.
And so we're going to take $50 million from the American Rescue Plan Act. So I was talking to a legislator last night and found out that the American Rescue Plan Act money has not yet been defined. And that means that we do not know what kind of strings are going to be attached to this money. This is money that is coming from the federal government, $50 million, and with shekels come shackles. There's always strings attached. This is what's so weird about this system of government we've grown into. They take our tax dollars, they take them to the federal level, and then the federal government issues them back to the state. Our money gives them back to the state and says, we'll give you this money if you do what we say. This is not the way our government was designed, and yet that's exactly what's happening. And so we have other legislators who keep voting for this kind of stuff. You're going to see a lot of the same kind of names. And you know what? I'm going to go through this one too, because here's, we got big government spenders. Amador, Birch, Blanksma, Bundy, Burns, Cheney, Chu, Erickson, Furness, Gannon, Gestrin, Gibbs, Green, Hartgen, Holtzclaw, Horman, Kaufman, Kirby, Lickley, Manwaring, Matthias, McCann, McCrosty, Nash, Necochea, Palmer, Rubel, Ruckte, Shepard, Syme, Toon, Troy, Weber, Wood, Yamamoto, Youngblood, and the Speaker of the House, Scott Bedke. All of those legislators, all those House members voted to bring in $50 million. They don't know what kind of strings are attached to the money. We have no definition of workforce housing. You look at all the conservative legislators, those are the ones who voted against it because they know that big government is not how we're supposed to do government in Idaho.
Yeah, I'm seeing a reoccurring theme with these names too.
Uh-huh. The people who tend to vote for bigger government and government spending always tend to vote that way. And the conservatives always tend to vote for not. And so that is what we need to be voting for in the primaries coming up. And by the way, I do want to refer people to the fact that you've got to register as a Republican before March 11th.
Yes, absolutely.
That there is a bill that went through the House that said if you are currently affiliated with any of the four major parties in Idaho, that if you're going to affiliate as a Republican, if you're going to change your affiliation, that has to be done by March 11th. So I tell people, look, I know a lot of folks, they left the Republican Party because of how the Republican Party treated Donald Trump. I don't blame them. I did the same thing back in 2002. After they passed the Patriot Act, and I knew how many rights were being taken away by the Patriot Act, I left the Republican Party. I said, you know what? I can't support this. Out of principle, I just disaffiliated with the Republican Party. Didn't want my name on their list, so to speak. But then I know that the most conservative, the people who are supporting constitutional conservative values in Idaho are most likely going to be Republicans and not Democrats. So I go to vote in the Republican primary, and they said, you can't vote in the Republican primary. You're not a Republican. I was not allowed to cast a Republican vote because I was not registered as a Republican. Same thing is going to happen this primary for all those people who left the Republican Party because they were mad at how the Republican Party treated Donald Trump. And they're going to go to the ballot if they don't re-register as a Republican, and they're not going to be able to vote Republican, which means strong constitutional conservatives like Priscilla Giddings are not going to get our vote. And that opens the door for people like Scott Bedke, big statist, to get elected as lieutenant governor. That's not what should be happening here.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to add to that, we've got 500,000 Idahoans who went to vote for Trump in this last election. 500,000 who believe in an America First policy, who believe in conservative ideology, that showed up to vote for Trump. Only 200,000 statewide decided who was going to control our state. And I got to tell you, we've got just as big of a swamp here in Idaho as we have in DC. And it's just as bad. And what makes it worse is these are our neighbors. And I always tell people too, you want to vote in the primaries. You want to determine who's going to run the state. Because I'll tell you what, the changes that we can enact here in Idaho to protect us from overreach from the federal government, it's huge. Also, those same people, it's easier to get in front of their house with pitchforks if you need to than it is to travel the United States. So getting it to where we're involving ourselves in the Republican primary, having it to where we're choosing these conservatives is the best defense of our state.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think people realize that if we had conservatives in the House, they could vote to say, no, we're not going to endorse what the federal government is saying. No, we're not going to accept those dollars. No, we're not going to get deeper in debt with the federal government. That happens at the local level. We do not have to obey every edict that comes out of Washington, D.C. But our current crop, we've got Lawrence Wasdin as the attorney general. He's part of the Attorney General's Association. They're a private organization. They're in bed with the World Economic Forum. You've got Brad Little. He's neck deep in the World Economic Forum. He does what they want. He does not stand up for the rights of Idahoans. We're going to get to that. And that's at the state level. And then in the House, we've got Scott Bedke And Chuck Winder, I mean, Chuck Winder, you look at his voting record. The guy votes like a Democrat. He gets an F on the Freedom Index.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's got a good primary challenger this time, so I'm excited about that. But, you know, I do want to kind of circle back to the taking of federal funds without knowing what the deal is. I mean, who would enter a business deal? Would you go get a loan? And they said, well, we're not going to tell you what the interest rate is going to be, but go ahead and sign here. That's absurd. Nobody would do that in their right mind. Yet our government here in Idaho is deciding that they're going to do that.
Well, Scott Bedke and Megan Blanksman, the other people that I read off there. And you can go to idahosession.com, which is a website that was created in partnership with True Idaho News to help you navigate what bills are out there. Because when you go to the state's legislative page, it's kind of cumbersome, hard to find bills, takes some time. Everything is really easy to find at idahosession.com. So if you go there and look up bill number 701 in the House, H0701, and take a look at who supported this, if your legislator is on there, you need to let them know you're not a happy camper. And of course, if somebody was against this bill, you can contact them and say, hey, thanks. Thanks for voting for smaller government. We do not need a federal government sending money to us to help people build homes who can't plan out enough finances to build a house properly. The market is the market. The market should correct itself. It doesn't happen as fast as some people like, but if the federal government gets involved, they always mess it up. And that's what this legislator told me last night. Every time the federal government gets involved in something, they mess it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even the state government messes it up. That takes us to our next topic. And that's this tax bill that's come through. This is put out by Representative Rice. And I guess Moyle has jumped on board. He's the majority leader in the House. This is a sales tax increase. We've got inflation going through the roof right now, Josh. We got this war in Ukraine. And supply chains have been really upended. We're talking about prices going up like crazy. You've seen the gas prices going up.
I have. I felt it yesterday. It was $4.19 to fill up my car per gallon.
For the 87 octane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my car requires a 91 octane. So I got to buy the expensive stuff. I can't wait to fill that tank up.
Oof.
So here's this bill. Idaho's sales tax is going to go up to almost 8%. Right now it's 6%. It's going to go up to 7.95%. In return, most property taxes would be eliminated. In other words, if you own your own home, your property tax is eliminated. I want people to think about this. If you are a renter, you don't own your home, you don't get a tax break on your property taxes, and you got to pay more on sales tax. So your cost of living is going to go up. If you own multiple homes, let's say you own three homes, Josh, you live in a house and you rent two of them out.
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, you, because you're living in your house, you're going to get a tax break on your house. But the two rental properties, no property tax break there. You still have to pay the same property tax. So now your renters do not get any kind of tax break. Plus, they have to pay an additional 2% more for their sales tax. And you think about how many people rent. Oftentimes they rent because they can't afford a house. So you think of the lower income folks that might rent and they're living paycheck to paycheck. They're not going to get a tax break. In fact, they're going to see a tax increase. This bill is one of the stupidest pieces of legislation I have seen come across the desks of Idaho legislators since I've lived in Idaho.
Yeah, it's unfortunate is it's truly just a great tax shuffle, and it's going to end up costing Idahoans more. You know, look, and the other part to that is that these same people who are trying to get this passed and sponsor it, Jim Rice and Mike Moyle, they're going to go back to their districts and they're going to tell about how, hey, we're so conservative, we passed a tax decrease bill, right? We understood when Idahoans said, we need to lower the taxes for homeowners. We went and we did that. And they'll leave out the part where they said, hey, we also are the ones who brought you this increase in your sales tax. It's just a huge shuffle. That's all it is.
It's a huge shuffle, but it really, as we've been talking about, it's a tax increase, especially if you're a renter.
Yeah.
And we've already got people at border towns who are crossing over into states that don't have sales tax on groceries. They say, oh, we're going to give you an additional $60 per person increase in the grocery tax credit. So at the end of the year, we'll give you an extra $60 back. But what about all the extra money you're spending because of inflation and price increases due to supply chain problems? I've talked about on previous podcasts, I used to buy a jar of peanut butter for $2. For years, Josh, it was $2. If I go to buy that same jar of peanut butter, and I haven't even been in the past month, last month I went and checked, it was $3.64. I hate to go check it now, a month later, but it's probably gone up. This is not what our legislators should be doing. They should be giving us tax breaks. We've got a $2 billion surplus in our funds. There is no reason to be doing this.
Absolutely. It's absurd. Look, we do have a crazy amount of inflation happening, and we do need the relief. And the relief should come from our state. They should recognize, you know, a lot of them apparently are independently wealthy and don't have to worry about pricing things. But everyday Idahoans, we're struggling. Our wages are increasing at the rate that inflation is happening. So where we need to find that relief is tax relief.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, one of the people who can help direct things and is supposed to be a leader in the state is the governor. But before we go too far, I want to give another shout out to one of our Triple Diamond sponsors for True Idaho News. That's Brian Hay with bhconsulting.us. Brian does computer repair. So if you have a computer that needs work, maybe some software repair or a virus removal, maybe you need some software updates or your system needs to be cleaned, whether it's residential or business, Brian Hay can help you out. And I appreciate the people who've been calling Brian and working with him because guess what? Brian can also work remotely. They got these software programs where you can punch up a code and he can access your computer from remote and fix your problems. Doesn't even have to come to your house. He can do it remotely. Contact Brian Hay at bhconsulting.us. His phone number, 208-329-8020. That's 208-329-8020 for your computer repair. Now, one of the people in this state who should be able to help set some direction is our governor. Unfortunately, I think our governor is a marionette for Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. And I want to encourage people to go to trueidahonews.com, read the article. It's an op-ed that I wrote. Is Brad Little a marionette for Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum? He's part of the National Governors Association. What's really scary to me is he just does whatever they say. The World Economic Forum had a recommended set of protocols to follow for COVID. Now, you remember when COVID first broke out, Josh? All these states were shutting down the essential and non-essential businesses. And we thought, Idaho's a very remote state. We're not slammed with COVID. Brad Little has been governing fairly conservatively. Let's just, you know, he's going to be like Kristi Noem out of South Dakota. He's going to just let us be. We're going to ride this out. And I think many Idahoans were shocked when he shut down the state. Were you shocked?
I was. Absolutely.
I was blown away because then I went on to the websites and I was looking at COVID deaths per county. We had only one COVID death in the entire state when he shut us down. One. Just one. And then I look, as I kept watching it and I kept looking, and even as things were getting heated up across the country, we had, 75% of our counties had no COVID deaths whatsoever. And yet he kept the state locked down even after the 30 days. He extended it another 30 days. And I'm going, why? And it's because that's the policy of the National Governors Association. He was not thinking for himself. He was just doing what the National Governors Association recommended. I really lost a ton of respect for Brad Little. And it's only gone down from there because the World Economic Forum has an agreement with the National Governors Association. The National Governors Association, you've heard me talk about this before, Josh. The National Governors Association is a private club. It is not a government organization. Your tax dollars, my tax dollars, everybody's tax dollars in this state gets used to pay for Brad Little's membership in a private club. Now, this alone ought to make people's eyebrows go up, because where do we have any place where an elected official gets to use tax dollars to go join a private club?
Yeah, it's insane.
And yet he's doing exactly that. So recently, there was a comedy piece put out by J.P. Sears, and he was showing some video clips from Yuval Harari, who's a top advisor to the World Economic Forum's founder, Klaus Schwab. And I watched that video and I thought, well, that's interesting. So I went and I dug up some more videos from Mr. Harari. And it is amazing some of the things this guy has to say. This is what the World Economic Forum is about. And first of all, I should point out that Mr. Klaus Schwab says, and I quote here, "The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world." That's what Mr. Klaus Schwab wants to do, reset the world. I've been talking about the Great Reset since July of 2020 when I first came across it, and I was on Alan Keyes' show quite a bit as a guest and talking about it with Alan Keyes. It was not a conspiracy theory. I started talking about it on social media and started getting flagged to say this is a conspiracy theory, which very much frustrated me, because if you went to the World Economic Forum website, weforum.org, they had a 2-hour video talking about the Great Reset and how they planned on changing the world and how the world works. It was not a conspiracy theory. It is actual stuff. You can go there today. In fact, you can even get Klaus Schwab's book called The Great Reset and read it for yourself. But in this article, True Idaho News, you can see these quotes by Yuval Noah Harari. And listen to some of this stuff. He says, quote, "Data might enable human elites to do something even more radical than just build digital dictatorships. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself." Yes, he's referring to them as elites. You and I, we're just peons. We're plebes.
Wow.
Then he says this. He says, "In the past," and again, I'm quoting, "many tyrants and governments wanted to do it, but nobody understood biology well enough, and nobody had enough computing power and data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, at least some corporations and governments will be able to systematically hack all the people." So this is what's so funny to me, is he's putting the World Economic Forum on par with the Gestapo and the KGB. They couldn't hack, but we can hack. Weird that he puts himself in the same boat as them.
Yeah, no kidding.
So obviously he's mocking God here. They don't believe that there is a God. He says, quote, "Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design." And I'm still quoting here, "not the intelligent design of some God above the clouds, but our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds, the IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud. These are the new driving forces of evolution," unquote. So this is what the World Economic Forum is about. This whole movement that we were seeing is an effort to cause chaos in the world, to bring us to massive levels of fear, to bring us to saying, oh, government, please help us and save us. They've done this through forcing people to get jabbed or lose their jobs. In fact, Francis Collins, the guy who just retired as head of the National Institutes for Health, just came out recently, an audio recording of him bragging about that, where if people don't get jabbed, they're going to lose their jobs. This is a control factor. This is people at the highest levels of these organizations, the quote, elite, and they think they know better than you and me how to run our lives.
It's insanity. You know, unfortunately, they're going to have to answer to that God they don't believe in when they die. So,
yeah. At some point, they will have to bow their knee, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's how it works. You can do it now or you do it then. Much better for your whole future if you do it now. So, a vaccine, by the way, Mr. Bill Gates is part of this collaboration. And isn't it funny how we see him talking about the predictions that there's going to be a digital ID? Remember him talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
And he's been out recently saying there's going to be another pandemic. He's been saying that for a couple of years now, too. In fact, remember that video of him saying, wait till the next one comes out. That'll really get their attention. So it's like, well, what do you know that we don't, Bill? And just recently, he came out again and said there will be another pandemic. There's also been, by the way, another exercise that they've done at the global level where it's an electronic pulse that stops all communications.
Oh, interesting.
So this is kind of stuff that they do, that they plan and they have plans for. And this is, again, why I think it's so important for us to get true constitutional people elected at the local levels who are making local decisions. Because when the defecation hits the rotating oscillator, the people who are strong for the Constitution and for freedom and for individual liberty, they will be taking that stand and saying, no, we're not going to bow the knee to the World Economic Forum. That's what we need. Any thoughts on that, Josh?
You know, kind of just shocking sitting back listening to all that, you know, especially the Bill Gates thing. Unfortunately, you kind of anticipate him to say some crazy things like that. But, you know, I don't pay as much attention to national politics or worldwide just because I can't do anything about it. I can change a lot here in Idaho personally, but, you know, it's still one of those things that when you hear these things, it kind of makes the hair on your arm stand up because you know that these people are evil. A lot of them are evil, pure, plain, simple evil.
And some of them are marionettes, like our current governor.
Exactly.
This is interesting. And here's a guy who, you know, shut down our state, like we just got done talking about. I remember my wife sitting in her chair going, I've been deemed non-essential by the leader of our state. He just said I was non-essential. And how many people lost their businesses because he shut us down? And yet, ready for this, his Facebook page for his reelection, Brad Little for governor, says, and I quote, Brad Little kept Idaho open while surrounding blue states shut down. I go, what kind of liar do we have on the second floor of the state house? He shut us down. And yet his Facebook page is saying that he kept Idaho open. He did not. How many people lost their businesses? In fact, I want to just say this to anybody who's listening. If you know of a business that closed permanently because of Brad Little's actions, please contact me. Send an email to trueidahonews@protonmail.com. I want to know these stories because I'm going to do something with them. I'm going to let people know that Brad Little put you out of business and this guy should not be reelected. Anybody but Brad Little. I would vote for an ant over Brad Little right now to run this state. He would do a better job looking out for our rights and liberties.
I'd prefer an ant, especially since I can't talk. maybe government won't grow as much. Maybe IACI won't have as much influence over that ant. You know, it's crazy to me. There was actually a town that almost elected a dog as its mayor. Every year it gets written in and every year it continues to grow. So I'm sure the dog has passed away by now, but just a funny thought of how much better would that town have been had the mayor and city council been animals? No more growth.
I would vote for the dead dog over Brad Little right now.
No kidding.
Well, I want to give a shout out to Mike Hahn also, by the way. He is an associate broker for Home River Realty. He is a sponsor of the podcast. We thank him for that. If you are trying to sell a home or buy a home in this crazy real estate market, give Mike a call at 208-939-9033. Mike Hahn has been in business since 2005, so he knows what he's doing. He hasn't just jumped into the business. He's got a lot of experience. Give him a call at 208-939-9033, or you can email him at michael.hahn, that's H-O-N, at pm.me, michael.hahn@pm.me. Josh, there is so much more we could talk about. We're kind of out of time here, but I thank you for joining me, and I do encourage people to get involved in your local politics. Josh, thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
And thanks also to our listeners. Thanks for staying tuned. You can follow us at trueidahonews.com, and you can subscribe for free. Each week you get an email with links to all the stories, including this podcast, in case you missed the podcast, and other stuff that we have going on at True Idaho News. Just go to trueidahonews.com and subscribe. Like I said, it's absolutely free, and all we do is give you one email a week. With that, this is Daniel Bobinski with True Idaho News, copyright 2022 of Shadow Trail Media. We'll catch you next week. Until then, be blessed.
You've been listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. Unfiltered news and opinion for the citizens of Idaho. Get more True News by visiting trueidahonews.com. If you'd like to support this podcast, visit trueidahonews.com/support. Thanks for listening.